This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
5 years ago, the Whistleblower Protection Act was enacted to tackle corruption and protect those willing to expose such crimes. Of late, we have seen an increasing number of corruption-related crimes. And yet, question marks over 1MDB's dealings and Mara's property purchase continue to dominate local headlines. As investigations into allegations of wrongdoing continue over these issues, perception will have you questioning if the wrongdoers are being brought to task or the whistleblowers who highlighted the corruption in the first place. Just what is lacking in our legislation? Are whistleblowers safe? Where do we go from here? Eric Paulson is the executive director of the NGO Lawyers for Liberty.
I would say it's a good fit because it might really work for low-level corruption, but when it comes to high-level corruption, whistleblowing is quite lacking. In our Malaysia's Whistleblowers Protection Act, first, according to the proviso, Section 6.1 of the Whistleblower Protection Act, the disclosure must not be prohibited by any written law. So, for example, in Malaysia and, of course, in many other countries, there is banking confidentiality provision that prohibits unauthorized disclosure. And, of course, in Malaysia also, we know that there is an Official Secrets Act that confers absolute discretion to the authorities to classify any document as official secret, even though it is not as a real secret or it's not a security risk and its exposure is in the public interest. So the example that I can give, if you look at most corruption cases, the only way for you to expose high-level corruption is through banking details. If we were to take these provisions to its logical end, it would be quite difficult for the disclosure to be protected under the Whistleblower Protection Act. Secondly, when it comes to Official Secrets Act, because it's so widely drafted that almost any document can be classified as official secret. So therefore, we are talking about it could be a water deal or it could be some kind of agreement that is lopsided. If it's classified as limited or official secret, then you cannot disclose it, even though it is in the public interest.
The Act's provision prohibits whistleblowers from tipping off information the government deems classified. This makes it difficult for those who want to expose misconduct. Eric tells us why.
Protection Act, it works in the government's interest because it seems that we have a genuine Whistleblower Protection Act, but in reality, if you were to look at the final details of the provision, it actually places the whistleblower in an absolute dilemma because on the one hand, you would like to get protection under this particular Act, but you have to whistle slowly and only to certain people. So what happens is if a particular person were to go through this particular procedure, so once you have invoked the protection under the Whistleblower Protection Act, you can't then go about it if, let's say, nothing is done. You can't decide, okay, now I've decided that since nothing is done, I would like to tell the press or inform a member of parliament. If you were to do that, then they can revoke whistleblower protection and you can be fined up to 50,000 or 10 years imprisonment. So you can see there is not a really bona fide whistleblower protection framework.
Aside from inadequate protection, there are also the common threats that whistleblowers have to deal with. Akmal Nasir is the co-founder of local NGO, National Oversight and Whistleblowers, better known as NOW.
Any whistleblowers, especially in Malaysia, they face such tremendous setbacks. They will have to face legal consequences, threat to privacy and their family, losing job, intimidation or harassment because they made disclosure of improper conduct. To illustrate, in the case of NFC years back, the $250 million worth of project awarded to NFC, basically to rent cows, but the money ended up with property buying. We know Rafizi, the MP of Pandan, is being charged for mafia because he exposed the banking details. He is public figure, so he may face a lot of pressure. But don't forget, in the case of another person who alongside with him, the bank clerk, Johari Muhammad, he also being charged in the court. But also, immediately after he exposed the document, he lost his job.
Last month, NOW was the civil group that further exposed the Mara property scandal. A total of 129 million ringgit had allegedly been overpaid for four properties it had purchased in Australia. We asked Akmal if these circumstances were reasons why whistleblowing was rarely practiced in the past. He believes that trust in this case is what gives individuals the courage to whistleblow.
From the beginning, it would be impossible for you to get someone from within the system to come forward. The recent expose on the corruption cases predominantly being motivated by the highlight of the corruption itself. If you consider the new scandal in Melbourne about the Mara purchasing a lot of properties there, when it was started back then when we received the information. We actually started with the court record from Victoria, Australia. And when we exposed the information, when the aide written the story as the headline in Australia, we received the tip-off from the inside. So basically, you cannot seek for the whistleblower. If you ask them, they will not come for you. But when you provide the platform, when you provide the trust, when you show them that we are willing to fight and we have the courage to face the public scrutiny, the mass will have the concern, and whoever has the information, they will come forward.
So on the government side, what has been done to address these loopholes in the Whistleblower Protection Act? Dato' Paul Low is the minister in the Prime Minister's department who oversees transparency, governance and integrity.
I do agree that in some of the provisions, it may be too restrictive, or at least it doesn't give the whistleblower the comfort, the liberty to be as free. And these are some of the provisions that we may need to look at it carefully and hopefully to amend it, you know. For example, one provision which is not in the Act but is in Section 203A of the Penal Code, provide that whoever discloses any information or matter which has been obtained by him in the performance of his duty or the exercise of his function under any written law shall be punished with a fine of not more than 1 million ringgit or imprisoned for a term which may be extended to a year or both. So this makes it very difficult. Usually when he whistleblow, he knows something about it. So whether it's in his performance of the duty or not in the performance of the duty. But the point is, I think any whistleblowing provision should encourage the whistleblower to blow to the proper channel when there is issue of criminality or corruption.
Detractors often accuse agencies like the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission of being ineffective in combating corruption. Controversies that arise include the question of why whistleblowers are often probed first instead of the perpetrators. While Low thinks public trust towards enforcement agencies needs to be rebuilt, he nevertheless insists MACC cannot act upon unverified information.
I believe that MACC will have to build its trust. Because the other problem is if you start going to others as well, then that means the whistleblowing is not no more in secret, it's in the public domain. And whether there is a strong case for that offense or not, everything has to be defended in public. If you are whistleblowing within the system itself, the people who receive the whistleblowing information will obviously have to interview the whistleblower to ascertain the accuracy of the information and also to speak to that particular person. So that is a due process that they have to carry through, because they can't be receiving information without knowing the truthfulness of it and the accuracy of it, you know, and at least know who the person is. So in the case you're talking about is where the whistleblowing is outside the system. And when it's outside the system, obviously the investigators will have to know the person. They will have to call the person up and they will have to check the evidence that he's giving and all that. So the issue is quite often it may be quite intimidating for that whistleblower to call up, and it can be misunderstood that it is going after him. But there again, you must remember, MACC cannot act on information unless they are sure. You can't just go to the perpetrators first without verifying the source. You can't afford to make a mistake to accuse someone or to arrest someone just because someone whistleblow. Of course, maybe they need to handle it in a much more diplomatic way, because sometimes it is a perception that they're going after the messenger rather than the message.
That was Dato' Paul Low, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of transparency, governance and integrity. Earlier on, we also heard from Akmal Nasir, co-founder of the local whistleblower NGO Now, and Eric Paulson, Executive Director of Lawyers for Liberty. I'm Keith Kam, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.